The questions you always had. The answers you were never given. The place to seek the truth. Welcome to Veritas.
Tonight, on the Veritas Project, we will uncover the extraordinary and controversial events surrounding the recent assassination attempt on former President Donald J. Trump in Butler, Pennsylvania. Joining us once again is Ole Damagord, an investigative journalist, author, and researcher known for his meticulous work in uncovering conspiracy theories and historical mysteries. Ole has dedicated his career to examining high-profile assassination cases, including that of JFK, and his expertise brings a critical and investigative perspective to tonight's discussion. In this special episode, we will dissect the dramatic incident at Trump's rally, where a shooter, Thomas Crook, allegedly evaded extensive security, set up a sniper position, and fired multiple shots at the former president. The official narrative is riddled with inconsistencies and significant lapses in security, raising more questions than answers. How could a lone shooter bypass the Secret Service? Why were snipers instructed to stand down? And how did this young man manage to get so close to one of the most protected individuals in the world? Ole Damagord will walk us through the maze of facts, theories, and speculations, offering his unparalleled insights into what truly transpired. We'll scrutinize the visual evidence, analyze the logistics, and question the official statements to uncover the truth behind this shocking event. Prepare for an eye-opening and thought-provoking discussion that challenges the official story and seeks to reveal hidden truths. Trump, shot or not, dissecting the Butler assassination attempt and its parallels to JFK and 9/11. Stay tuned for an unforgettable investigation into the attempted assassination of former President Donald J. Trump, right here on The Veritas Project. Welcome to The Veritas Project. I'm your host, Mel Hostelrick. If this is your first time listening, welcome home. To access tonight's full interview and all of our exclusive material, simply join the Veritas Plus family by clicking on the subscribe button at veritasproject.com. And while you're there, don't forget to check out the Veritas store for a range of great products, including focused life force energy. Experience the power of FLFE with a 15-day free trial today. No credit card required. If you're looking to get in touch with me, have a guest suggestion, or would like to provide feedback, simply click on the contact button on our website. Your thoughts and ideas are always appreciated. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's program. And directly from Bali, Indonesia, I'd like to welcome my friend, Ole Damagord. Hello, Ole, and welcome back. How are you?
I'm good, good, good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Every time something like this happens, the first minute I was in Europe, before I left for Europe, I told my wife, I had this feeling that something's going to happen while we're away. And boom, we were there and it happened. And the first person I think of is Ole Damagord. And a few days later, hey, Mel, do you want to talk about it? So I brought you with my mind. Ole, I'm going to let you speak because a lot of people are saying, oh, this is a stage event. Of course, I think it was. But is it the stage event that we think it is? Or was it one side or the other? Why don't I let you begin?
Well, first of all, thank you for having an open mind, because what happened that day is something that, depending on how we deal with it, will have great effects on our future. So it is on the highest level of attack, assassination attempt, or inside jobs, false flag operation. You cannot get higher than Donald Trump. So I think it's very important to really look into it. And I see that the whole world, a major part of the people looking into it, are just like you say, they see there's some kind of staged event. There's some kind of thing going on here. But what, that is the big question. So if it's okay with you, I would just like to break it down a little bit. And then we take it step by step and go through the whole thing, because I think that you're going to be quite gobsmacked along the way.
Fair enough. Proceed.
Proceed. So there's not a lot of people that I really admire in this world, but one of them was a man called Fletcher Prouty. He was the guy that was portrayed as Mr. X in the JFK movie. And he was an he was working in the Pentagon. He was working with Black Ops in the 50s. He was very, very good at what he was doing. And it was only when they took out JFK, he was the guy that was sent to the South Pole to be out of the way because they couldn't trust him because he was too, his morals were too high in that. So he went in the US when the assassination happened, but he was on his way back home. And he was in New Zealand when he heard about the JFK assassination, picked up the newspapers, and already there, I think it was 3 hours before Oswald were even, what you could say, accused of the assassination, then the newspapers already had a complete bio. They had photos of him. They had the whole setup. They had 3 shots fired. All of it were there. But because of the time zones, this was before it actually happened in the US. So how was that possible? And so he right away knew, whoa, this is one of our jobs. It looks exactly like it was one of our jobs. And so after that, he got extremely concerned and very depressed and sad for a while. And then he came out and became a whistleblower. And it's from him that I have a lot of my knowledge of these operations. So one of the things he said was, when you suspect something like this could be fishy, look at what did not happen, what should normally have happened. So don't just stare at what happened and look at, oh, what, but look at what did not happen. So in this incident, there are so many things that are not the way they should have happened. So you have to ask yourself, we have different options. Either there was an assassination attempt carried out on this individual called Donald Trump. By the way, I'm not politically interested. I'm not involved in politics. I don't know who Trump is. I don't trust him. I've never listened to him. I don't listen to people on that level. Because as far as I've been able to find out over many, many years, is that the game is rigged. And so it doesn't really matter who we vote for or whatever, because the ones in real power are sitting in the background just pulling the strings. So Biden, Trump, Barack Obama, I don't listen to what they say. I don't. So I have no investment. Trump is a good guy. He's a bad guy. He's a white hat. He, whatever. I look at this. Something happened. It's a crime scene. I look at it from that point of view.
You're a journalist. That's what a journalist should do.
I don't even know what I am, but I've become quite good at it. I've been down this rabbit hole for some 44 years now, and I've really, really, really done my utmost to fine-tune the skill of understanding these operations. And I've, thank God, over the years, I've been helped from many people on the inside. So because I go to the source, I when something happens, if I see some strange, like here, a bullet hole through the ear that doesn't appear or whatever, I don't speculate. I speak to nurses and doctors and blood analyze specialists and so on to get their opinion. You know, if it's ballistics or whatever, I speak to a weapons expert and say, is this possible? Is that possible? What is that sound? What does that sound to you? Are there, do you know, so that instead of speculating and me coming with so-called theories, I try to deliver facts. And by the way, the word theory, we're being told, oh, it's a conspiracy theory or it's a conspiracy theorist. Do you know the word theory? It actually means the real meaning of the word theory is making visible. So music theory is just not somebody who's randomly saying, I think that the G minor chord really works well with E7, but I have no idea. I'm guessing, so it's a music theory. No, it means music theory is actually making music visible so that the eye can understand what's going on for the ear. It's the same with Einstein. He wasn't sort of just guessing the theory of relativity. He wasn't like, well, I have this notion that this will happen if that. No, he said, I made it visible. This is it. So it was the CIA from 64 to 67 that weaponized these words to be used against us. And so I think it's time to take them back. And another word that is also being used against us is the word paranoid. I have it from an MI6 agent many years ago. He said that word actually means the ability to see some things are connected that other people cannot see. So with that said, I'm apparently a very proud paranoid conspiracy theorist.
I hereby deputize you as such.
Thank you so much, Mel. That really warms my heart. So let's check this out. So we're being told that dear Donald, whoever it is, red, white, red tie, blue tie, whatever, that he had this rally at a very important time in history because we're coming up to the elections. So of all the places he chose, even though he could fill a stadium, he chose a place called Butler in Pennsylvania with a population of 13,500 in the middle of nowhere, where completely flat, which makes it really, really difficult to protect from snipers, because nowadays even amateur snipers with good equipment can sort of hit a target almost a mile away or something like that. It's incredible. So that makes it really, really difficult for Secret Service to protect, because they have to prepare for anything in a 360-degree circle, because it can come from anywhere and it could come from multiple sources at the same time. So not an easy task for the Secret Service. So normally they would handpick the location or be involved in the decision of location from a security point of view. Also, normally Secret Service would come in, maybe not on this level, but at least a few weeks ahead, make sure all buildings secured, all windows closed and secured, doors protected, locked, and so on, so that there would be no chance for anyone to enter into these security parameters. The parameters would also be in different layers, so that you have like rings of security around the possible target here. And then they would involve the local authorities as well to take care of the traffic things. But that would be in the outer parameters of this area. The presence of the security, in this case, Secret Service, would be very noticeable. They would just be aware around the whole place. There would be snipers placed out. There would be aerial surveillance, maybe helicopters or drones, but make it very, very visible for the people involved in security what's going on in the area. So they should have been everywhere, not just two times two snipers on two different rooftops. And so we're being told here that this young guy, who, I mean, teenager, managed to outsmart the Secret Service. I mean, the Secret Service is top of the line. That's at least what they're being trained to, top of the line when it comes to that, the best of the best. And that's why they are working for this organization. But this 20-year-old managed to outsmart them, completely outsmart everyone. How did he do that? Well, he parked his car a block away. That is very advanced, So he parked it around the block. The car was partly filled with explosives. Question, where did he get the explosives? The name also is in these type of situations interesting, because very often they have handpicked names that are pointing in a certain direction, whatever direction. If there is a psychological operation ongoing, the names will be pointing in a certain direction. So here we have Thomas, Matthew. These are two biblical names. And Crooks says a lot. I mean, Thomas, Matthew, Crooks. And also, like in all of the big operations or assassinations, the name of the patsy have been three names. So you got James Earl Ray, Lee Harvey Oswald, David Chapman,
and John Wilkes Booth.
John Wilkes Booth is another one for it. I don't know why they do it, but it's like, I think that it adds credibility to the whole thing. But there's a very clear pattern of three names. And I don't think that his mother and father called him Thomas Matthew. Come, the supper is on the table. able to know. There's, why do they do that?
It was Mark David Chapman. You mean John Lennon's assassin?
Mark David Chapman. Yes, exactly. Thank you, Mark David Chapman. No, it's the same with Lee Oswald. Everybody knew him as Lee. Nobody ever called him Harvey. He didn't like that name at all. And by the way, that was also what is called a floating identity. It was being used in these operations by multiple people. So the Lee Harvey Oswald identity, when he was in Russia, there were still reports about Lee Harvey Oswald's activities in the U.S. under J. Edgar Hoover. So very odd area to get into. But anyway, so of course, the Secret Service had been there prepared and, made secure these different buildings, at least the ones closest to the stage, including a water tower, but apparently not. So the building itself, where we're being told that this young guy with no apparent weapons training or military background at all, he managed to bring in a rifle. He stopped, they say, and they check him, and he has this measuring equipment that snipers and expert shooters are using to measure the distance when they shoot like that. He has that on him. They see it and they say, "Oh, it doesn't really matter," and they just let him through.
A scope.
Not just a scope. It measures the distance. So that you can make accurate.
That's right. What's the name of that device? I forgot.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sorry. I'm tired. I've been like working nonstop with this event, so smoke is coming out of my ears at this point. So bear with me. But anyway, so they don't see that as a problem. So they let him in. He's even managed to bring a ladder somehow, or they say that maybe that ladder was brought there a few days before. But this is the thing: it would never ever have been allowed to be there. For anyone to get up on this building, and how did the rifle get there? That as well. So anyway, so he managed to do that, and he managed to climb that building. And now they say that the building inside the building were more or less the headquarters for the local police force. And one of the police officers hears something is going on, climbs up behind him, sees him with a rifle, climbs down again, and allows him to shoot. What? And so the closest building, it's like 400 feet, a little more than 400 feet. Like how can they let anyone that close? It is absolutely not possible. So here's one of the things where Fletcher Prouty, I mentioned before, was saying, look at what did not happen, that should have happened. There should have been a steel ring of protection around that place. Nobody carrying a ladder, a rifle, a scope, whatever, would have had any chance of getting close at all. But here he managed to do that. And so he's up on the roof, and this one of the snipers and people in the audience sees him and say, "Oh my God, there's somebody up there. There's somebody up there." One of the snipers zooms in on him and asks for permission. "Can I take him out?" And he's then told officially by the Secret Service saying, "Stand down, stand down, stand down." And then that is for like 2-3 minutes before the shots are fired. And then boom, boom, he starts shooting. The sniper kills him. Even though when you listening to the sound analysis, it's very strange because the gunfires and the sound of the guns are very odd. But anyway, so it said that this sniper managed to shoot him, hit him in the head, and stone dead, boom. So if we look at that on its own, there's one aerial footage photo of him, of the shooter, when he's on the roof. And you see that he's dead, but there's no blood running from his head or anything like that. It's just a body lying there. And then the rifle is like 10, 15 feet away. So here we're told that he's lying down there firing at Trump. Then he's hit in the head. So how did the rifle end up like 15 feet away? Did he just, "Oh my God, I'm hit in the head," and then stood up, threw the rifle, lay down to die? Or how did that happen? We have the body cam footage of the team that are approaching this building. No adrenaline. They're not careful. They're not scared because, the shooter could be up there. There could be multiple shooters. Nothing like that. They go up. they find the body. It's all blurry, the images of him, but you can see it's the body. By then, blood has been running like 20, 30 feet of blood is running down this roof. And then...
Thank you for listening. To unlock the full 2-hour interview, including video formats, downloads, transcripts, exclusive articles, and more, subscribe to Veritas Plus now. Gain access to our entire archive dating back to 2008. Just click subscribe at veritasproject.com. To listen to the rest and access all of our exclusive material, head over to the Veritas Plus member section or click the subscribe button at veritasproject.com. Don't forget to visit the Veritas store for a range of great products, including focused life force energy. Experience the benefits with a 15-day free trial of FLFE today. No credit card required. If you'd like to get in touch with me, be a guest on the program, have a guest suggestion, or want to provide feedback, just click the contact button on our website at veritasproject.com. Thank you for listening to The Veritas Project, because you don't want to believe, you want to know. What are you waiting for? Subscribe now at veritasproject.com.